in the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
I love putting truth out there, don't you? And I love those of you that help us do it. Thank you. May God bless you for it. This song I requested this morning because I'm going to talk a little bit in the sermon about what happened this week. And it has to do, there's a part in there that has to do with friendship. And so I asked Mike Platjay to sing this song. Take her away, Mike.
Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend. You know there's times I get discouraged, feel a little depressed. But Jesus comes and he'll say to me, son, let me take away all your stress. Oh, there's things that my people don't realize. There's news that I want them to know, that the price I paid so they all could be saved, in my name Satan's got to let them go. Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend. Oh, if you don't know my friend Jesus, then you've got a world full of strife. Satan came to kill and destroy, but my Jesus come to give abundant life. Saints, when are we going to realize there's news that he wants us to know? That the price he paid so we all could be saved, in his name Satan's got to let us go. Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord. you're my friend. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend. Oh, if you don't know my friend Jesus, you've got a world full of strife. Satan came to kill and destroy, but Jesus come to give abundant life. Saints, when are we going to realize there's news that he wants us to know? That the price that he paid so we all could be saved, and his name Satan's got to let us know. Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Why don't you sing it with me? Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. There you go. You're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend.
One more time, let's sing it one more time.
Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord. You're my friend.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Jesus, you're more than just Lord. You are my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend. Oh, Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
praise you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there's a war going on in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we're prepared here. For those out there, if you're just tuning in on the radio somewhere or the internet, we've got a sermon for you entitled The Way of Egypt. I want to read a scripture to you from the Septuagint. It's found in Isaiah 10:24. We'll not read it in the Masoretic. It's very similar, though. But it says, what you saw, it says this, O my people who dwell in Zion, be not daunted at the Assyrian, because he will smite thee with a rod. For I am bringing this stroke upon you, that thou mayest see the way of Egypt. End quote. Now, this might not mean much to you now, but before the sermon's over, hopefully it will. But the Lord is saying, don't be daunted when the Assyrian strikes you. I'm the one doing it, so that you might see the way of Egypt. You read about the way of Egypt as they were coming out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and hopefully I'm speaking to a crowd that's already read that. If you haven't, you know, this sermon really isn't for you. You can listen to it, but I suggest you go and start making up for lost time. In way of review from the last two messages, I tried to put a concept out, and that is that things are not always as they appear to be, and I've been giving examples. This week you have seen, this week in what they call the bailout, you have seen the way of Egypt. But things are not always as they appear to be. Say in government, they want it to appear that you have a constitutional government, and as a result, you have what is called the House of Representatives. They are there to represent us. Yeah, right. Are you waking up? And so that alien Abe Lincoln said,
we got a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And the people say, yeah, we do. But all the people are saying, don't do it. But the representative said, we got to do what's best for the country.
Well, whose country you talk about, man? But the point is, things are not always as they appear to be. Now, I think we're going to go to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, just for sake of a real fast and concise lesson on government from the Bible. If you want to know a little bit about government, this is a scripture to be aware of, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It's concise, and I give it to you. This is what it says. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. He will accomplish this. Now, that's all we're going to say about government, except to say this. In way of review, as I continue on from the last two messages, in government and in our society, there are definitely two groups of people. No, let me rephrase that. In our government and in our society, there are definitely two groups that appear to be people. One appear to be people because they are people, and the other people are just appearing to be people. Now, this is all a way of review. We're not going to go through that. What I'm talking about is the tares and the wheat. What the Bible talks about, and if you want to know where that's at, just read Matthew chapter 13. It's a short read, very concise. Jesus made it clear that the field was the world, that in the field, what appeared to be wheat, there was also tares, and the tares represented the sons of the devil. And the wheat represented the sons of the kingdom. So there's two groups out there, the tares and the wheat. Now there's other words for the tares, and this is way of review, children of the devil, sons of hell, creatures of instinct, not a people, aliens, serpents. But now I want to introduce to you a new term that's not new to some of you, but it is for a lot of you. It's a term that I want you to be aware of as we go on in this sermon, the way of Egypt. And the term, it's a Bible term for the same group, from what I can see, it's a prophetic term, Assyrian. We'll look at it more as we go. But let's go in way of review to 1 Peter 1. We're going to go 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 68 through 77. I've got to move fast. A lot of scriptures I want to cover. Yep. And so, who are protected by the power of God through faith? I want you to get that down, saints. You are protected by the power of God through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. Excuse me. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll stop there. I don't want to get off point too far, but I want you to know that this scripture points out to us that there are times that we have our faith tested, that the proof of our faith. He said, you have faith? Well, prove it. Well, fight the fight of faith. Prove that you've got faith, you see. But the main point I wanted that was that there is a salvation. This is review scripture. Salvation yet to be revealed. Well, salvation from what then? These Christians had salvation as we understand it. Most Christians only understand a little bit of the spectrum of salvation. But if we go to Luke chapter 1, this is still a way of review. There's another aspect of salvation that hopefully you, the remnant out there, understand by now. It says this, we read, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." Redemption for his people. "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." The record's not stuck. I just want you to get ready for what you're going to hear. "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." That salvation yet to be revealed is a salvation from our enemies, to get out of their hands, a redemption to be bought back from the slavery that we are now waking up to and seeing that we are in. We are into debt above our heads, above our children's heads, above our grandchildren's heads. And in way of review, we've already pointed out to you that the Scripture teaches very clearly that the debtor is the slave to the lender. This is all in way of review. The salvation yet to come, in my opinion, is a national salvation. The church age has always been concerned with personal salvation. Nothing wrong with that if you get it right. But you come up with this little thing of, let's all have the sinner's prayer. How many here have accepted Jesus? Raise your hand. Isn't that sweet? 1, 2. Are you deacons taking this down? Jesus, they've raised their hand. They have now become Christians. What a bunch of nonsense! These preachers don't like this preacher to keep preaching the truth. Baptism for the remission of sins. So I'm not backing off on it. So you want to play church? Go somewhere else. And most of them do. That's why you end up having a little church. Because they don't want to hear the truth. But that's the truth. And so the church has been concerned with personal salvation. But now we're talking about national salvation. God brought a whole nation of people out of Egypt. And we're going to see, as we already saw in the Scripture, the way of Egypt. Isaiah 52, verse 1 and 2. We're going to go over Isaiah 52, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Talks about a wake-up, and there's a wake-up call. They took a call for votes this week there in the House and Senate. By the way, I don't know that constitutional law that well, but I think, if I remember right, that all bills have to originate in the House, not in the Senate. There was a reason that on Monday they had a 3- or 4-page bill. And the representatives heard all those ones that are getting ready to get reelected, heard from their constituents, and they said, "Don't you pass this bill?" And they didn't. And the stock market dropped 777.68. Well, 7 is a perfect divine number. He had 7 eyes, 7 horns, 7 heads. A whole lot of things about 7, but what about the 6-8? Their party started in 68. It's over. They just don't know it yet, you know? But as a result, we ended up then having the Senate pass a bill that had 400 and some pages in it. I want you to know something. There is no way that there was any congressman up there that could go from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The reason they didn't vote on it, on that one day until 9 o'clock was because that was their holy Rosh Hashanah day. Show you what a Jewish nation this thing has become. But anyway, there's no way you can read 400 some pages in that short period of time, particularly when you try to read that kind of writing. But I'm off point. The point is, let's just read Isaiah 52. People are going to wake up to this. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. What does that mean? Keep it right there on the screen. But what it means is that all ye that were baptized into Christ, it says in Galatians 3:24, New American Standard, have clothed yourself with Christ. That's what it means. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come unto you. What does it mean, uncircumcised and unclean? What it means is you're going to figure out there are the tares and the wheat. And then it says, shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. In other words, they wake up to the reality. They're not free. They're slaves. Loose yourself from the chains. You just had more chains riveted around your necks this week, by the way. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, now get this, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Note, people, that it was not the Egyptian people that oppressed the Israelites in Egypt, it was the Assyrian. And when you study it out, you'll find out that after Joseph died, the Bible says there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, but you'll find out that there was another group that moved in to Egypt. They were not Egyptians. They were the same. I suppose they probably had a theme song like old Neil Diamond's. We are coming to Egypt. We are coming to Egypt. Remember that song he sang, We Are Coming to America? Well, somebody came to Egypt, and slowly they said, let us deal wisely. And it took these creatures called Assyrians to enslave the Israelites. Interestingly enough, Ezekiel says that the Israelites in Egypt went after whoredom. The Assyrian has always been used as a rod to punish God's people for their whoredoms, going after other gods. You know, it's no accident that what we have today is that in the days of coming out of Egypt, right away the Israelites wanted to make a god. They took their golden earrings, they made a god, they made it into a calf. And they looked to the calf. It is no accident, ladies and gentlemen, that you have on Wall Street there in the stock exchange a big bull, brass bull, looks like gold, a golden calf. And the people are still looking to that calf like it's some kind of god. That's just a side note. The Assyrian is the new term that I want you to put in your mind bank, your mental bank, along with sons of hell, children of the devil, creatures of instinct, not of this, not a people, alien serpents. Now think of Assyrian. Now that's all way of review, and I don't have a lot of time to get to the new stuff, so let's do it fast. This week there were 70 million people that watched a debate between two vice presidential candidates. Their minds were focused, to keep them off the issue. By the way, I was wondering, who's this black woman that's the moderator that says, I'm the one that picks the questions? Me alone? Well, really? Well, who are you, ma'am? Did you know that she's written a book supposed to come out on Inauguration Day praising Senator Obama? It's called The Age of Obama. Now, that's just real objective moderator, isn't it? I wondered about that, but I don't think anybody else did. And no one noticed about what they didn't talk about the soldiers that are now on our soil to put down civil unrest in America. We talked about that last week. Came back from Iraq. They didn't talk about the Russians using Venezuela as a staging area for an attack on the U.S. That wasn't mentioned. But here's the point, getting to the point before time gets away, and that is that no one asked this question, hardly anyone anyway, hardly anyone out of the 70 million viewers asked this question. Now, I wonder if either one of these, or both, are Syrians. I wonder if either one of these or both are snakes, tares, sons of the devil. No, though the Bible speaks of such, here is 70 million people so devoid of Bible understanding because they've been listening to these preachers in these churches, they don't even know there's a tare or a wheat, a son of hell. They have no idea, and they're not asking, well, how could anybody ask that question about Mrs. Palin? Notice I didn't call her Sarah Palin. I want to go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, before I make this point. This is the reason I wanted that song sung about Jesus being our friend, getting to that point in the sermon. And there's so many points to make, but I got to make this point because most people didn't see this. And you know, one of the problems, when I'm wrong, you know, I don't like to be wrong any more than you do. But when I get to be wrong, I have to admit my wrong in front of all of you. Now, I'm going to admit it wrong and correct it. Just got to do it before the sermon is over. First of all, let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 10. And especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. He's talking about those that despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. And so, well, yeah, I know that's in the Bible. Yeah, but did it ever cross your mind that maybe Mrs. Palin is one of them that despises authority, is a creature of instinct? Now, I went on the radio here a while back saying, you know, I think the reason that Mrs. Palin, I said Sarah at the time, and I correct my error, but I said is the reason she's being attacked by the media because she's an Israelite. You can see that light in her. And one man wrote to me, says, Pastor Peters, he says, I'm really disappointed in you. You're supposed to be a Gideon soldier. You're supposed to be suspicious. You don't recognize her as a snake. And I want to tell you, I made a mistake. I want to show you a picture of her daddy. I've been kind of researching out a little bit about her genealogy, and it truly does look like she's got Jewish genealogy. On the one side, the name is Shigum. Anyway, all you have to do is take a look at the daddy. I want you to start developing an eye for the alien. Now, he's got a Khazar Jew look if you've ever seen one. There he is. Take a good look there. Boy, do you believe there are snakes? Come on, take a good look. Oh, but we're not the judge. Yeah, I know. All right. Anyway, I'll get to the point now because I got to move on. This is really funny because what I watched with the 70 million was a couple snakes slither out, and man, she made the first strike. Bam! Just like that. And nobody recognized it. I didn't recognize it either. Holy Spirit gave it to me later. They came on the stage, and they're smiling at each other, and they walked up, and the first thing she said to Senator O'Biden, who's been a senator for 30 years, gray-haired gentleman, she says, can I call you Joe? Right there. First move. She had him. That's it. Let me tell you why she had him. Because in our society, they despise authority. The leaven of the Pharisee is such that the Jezebels despise authority. And they're the vote that they're after right now. That's why they got Ms. or Mrs. Palin on the ticket to get that woman vote. But there's not hardly a preacher out there that is telling the kingdom truth that goes like this. Women are not to vote. How well you think that go over in your mega churches? You find you've got a mega church, then you get a micro church, let me tell you that. A not so mega church in a big hurry. You know, the first right to vote was out of the state of Wyoming. You think they cared about women's suffrage there? No, the problem they had there was they didn't have any women there. That's true. They didn't have any women. They wanted to get women out here in the West, and Wyoming is a tough place. So they give them the right to vote. That's what it was all about. And there were a lot of Christian women and men that were fighting against it because they said a man and a woman are one. And if you have a woman vote, you're splitting the family. But that's off point. But anyway, They had Senator Biden right there. Because if he'd have said, no, I prefer Senator Biden, or you may call me Mr. Biden, those out there that are against the authority, you see, I've talked about the Jezebel series in relation to what? Authority. Still, many of you women will not and don't ever intend to call your husband Lord like Sarah did. You see? And she wasn't about to call him Senator or Mister. And he said, yes, you can call me Joe. She had him. Because the next thing I know, she kept talking about Joe Sixpack. And as the debate was going on, she said, well, now, there you go again, Joe. I want to tell you something. I don't know Mr. Biden, Senator Biden. But I suspect his real name is Joseph. His friends can call him Joe. One time I was talking to a man on the radio, called up, was interested in getting on the network, and he referred to me as Buddy. How you doing, Buddy? And I said, listen, I'm not your buddy. Well, that's just a term of expression. Well, don't use it with me. You see, and there are a few people out there that get to call me Pete, but they're very few. Because they're my close friends, an inner circle. And it's from days gone by. My real name is Peter. But if you got a name like Peter Peters, you're going to be called Pete and Repeat every now and then. But I even got one friend that sometimes calls me PJ. I don't particularly like it. Reminds me of pajamas. Because my name is Peter John Peters. But he knows he can get by because he is my buddy. But there are not very many. You see, it's a small circle. Jesus has given us the opportunity to be his friend. But if she said to me, may I call you Pete? I would say, no. That's something I reserve for my friends. And you're not my friend. You're my enemy. I'm debating you. You know, I believe you're bad for the country. And you're trying to promote somebody that's bad for the country, in my belief. And so you're not my friend. But she had him. Does that make sense? So he said, yeah, and next thing you know, she was talking about Joe Sixpack, called him Joe several times. Him, on the other hand, though, I need to move on because I got so much more to cover. But on the other hand, one time I saw that he started to call her Sarah, and then he said Governor Palin. Because he was coached that you cannot call her Sarah because the women don't want to be just one of the boys. They've got to be held up on this little pedestal. I mean, this guy was in a spot, wasn't he? I want to tell you something. Mr. Biden could have chewed her up and spitted her out if he wanted to. But he had to pull his punches. That's what you do in a pillow fight with a woman. You see? And I realize, too, that since I'm in the area of apology, and I want some of you to get this, I need to apologize to Senator Obama. No, that's right. We are to be a respectful people. He did get to the position of senator. He did get through a law school. What was it, Yale? Harvard. I don't know if I could get through there. But like, think I could. But the point is there's nothing wrong with being respectful. But they've taken respect away. You see what I'm saying? You can respect the position, but that's very disrespectful to call a man that's been 30 years, Mrs. Palin, in the Senate, man that's old enough to be your father, and say, there you go again, Joel, your little wink. And you guys out there, you know, I tried to pull this on one of the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I won't tell you which one. I picked one that I thought was the most gullible. And they came in, and we have a Radio Ranch Wrangler time on a Saturday morning. And I said, you know, I can't believe what they'll do to get votes. Do you know what, I didn't say Mrs. Palin, I said Sarah, I apologize. I said, you know what, she's going to be in the centerfold for Playboy. What? Really? And then suddenly the Radio Ranch Wrangler even realized that I was jerking his chain, as they say. But then it occurred to me, if she was, a bunch of you would go out there and buy the stinking magazine. That's the kind of whores you are out there in America today. They stick a pretty face in front of you, and she's against abortion. Oh, she's got to be good. I want to tell you something. You had 70 million people, and no one asked the question, could she be a snake? Am I getting my point across? Oh, there better be repentance in this land. Now, if I was Mr. Biden or Senator Biden, I'd say, now, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to be called Mrs. Palin or Ms. Palin? Oh, you can call me Sarah. No, I'm not calling you Sarah. I call friends Sarah or by their first name. I prefer to give you a respectful title. Mrs. Palin or Ms. Palin? You see, there you got him, because if she says, I prefer to be called Mrs. Palin, then Mrs. is denoting that I belong to a mister. And you see, if you belong to a mister and he's your lord, then I'm actually electing him for president if we're putting you in as president. If you happen to slip in there, if the man you're following dies, you see what I'm saying? Because isn't the man supposed to be the head of the woman? If she says, no, Ms. Palin, that doesn't fit this image of being a conservative Christian woman. And it shows that's a rebellion. Is that clear in my thinking here? So you'd have her either way. And I tell you what, to me, it is a disgusting sight to see after the debate her husband coming up holding a little child walking up there. You know, what's he do, travel around on that airplane with her to carry her nylons? How many cooked meals does he get from her? You see, we've got a society that is out of order, and these creatures of instinct lead our people astray. Does that not seem clear? What is it in God's plan in the way of Egypt, the purpose of the Assyrian? Isaiah 10:5. We need to move on fast. We're going to go to Isaiah 10:5. Then we're going to go after that to Isaiah 10:6. And then to Matthew 7, 20 and 23. Isaiah 10:5. This is the purpose of the Assyrian. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. So the purpose of the Assyrian is for a whip, a rod in God's hand to chastise us. Chastise us for doing what or being what? Next verse 6 says, I sent it against a godless nation and commissioned it, the Assyrian, against the people of my fury to capture booty and to seize plunder and to trample them down like mud in the streets. Now, let's go to Matthew 7, 20 through 23 real fast. I got a lot of scriptures to cover. I'm looking at the clock. I want to get these things in, and I'll try to make my points. Matthew 7, it says in verse 20, "So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice,'" everyone say it, "lawlessness." You see, the problem with these creatures is they do not have the ability to love. They do not have the ability to love. They can fake love. They can say they love. They can act like they love. But Jesus said, "If you love me," now get that camera on me. "If you love me," get the camera up closer. "If you love me, keep my commandments," which means obey the law. They were lawless. What we have as an attitude in America today is the attitude of Pharaoh. "Who is this God that I should obey him?" That's the way of Egypt. We have picked up the ways of Pharaoh. You talk to people and say, "You know, the Word of God says this or that. Who is this God that I should obey him?" And because we are lawless, godless, the Assyrian is the rod used against us. What is his purpose? We just read his purpose is to plunder us. We go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. No, I don't think we have time. We'll go to Isaiah 10, 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 28, 28 and 29 talks about the fact that we, if we do not obey that law, will be robbed and oppressed continually. How does the Assyrian rob us? You know, I got an email this week and somebody said, "I listened to your sermon last week and I see that you're finally figuring out the money system." I want to tell you something, you young whippersnapper, whoever you are. I was preaching about this money system 20 years ago. I was explaining about how Jesus said to the money changers, "Stop making my Father's house a den of thieves," and I exposed the banking system and I explained it. But along the way, I figured something out that you patriots had better figure out. The problem is not the buggy whip. I said, "What are you talking about, Pastor Peters? That's why no one ever listens to you." Well, I'll tell you a story about the buggy whip, okay? When I was a boy, my daddy had a buggy whip. Now, he not only broke his horses, and he was a very gentle man. I didn't get very many spankings from him, but he had a buggy whip, and I can remember as a little boy that sometimes when my brother and I get out of line, he had this buggy whip, and the old-fashioned refrigerators had kind of a black thing around it, and he had that buggy whip back there. He'd reach in and grab that buggy whip, and he'd snap us with that buggy whip, you know, and man, it stung, hurt, and cried. My brother would get all upset. He said, "What are you crying about? He hits me a lot harder than you, you know." Well, he was 7 years older than I was, but in my mind, the problem was the buggy whip. So one day when nobody was around, I went and took the buggy whip, and I took it out, and I took and hit it someplace in the neighborhood, I forget where, because see, in my childlike mind, the problem was the buggy whip. If I got rid of the buggy whip, there'd be no spankings. That wasn't the reason of the spankings. The spankings was I was misbehaving. And so I was trying to get rid of the buggy whip called the banking system, trying to tell everybody the Federal Reserve is not federal at all. It's a privately owned organization. I've been all through that, men. I know what the Rothschild said about it and all the things that were said about it, and you Ron Paul Johnny come latelys talking about the money system. But you haven't figured out that God will get something worse than a buggy whip if he has to. The Assyrian is the rod of his anger, and he uses it on a godless nation to chastise us. And one of the ways he does it is to plunder us. And if you go to chapter 10, verse 1, you'll figure out how he plunders us. While we're going there, I just want to tell you, you need extra money coming up. Why don't you lend out $200,000 at, say, 6% interest? That will give you, what, $12,000 a year. That will give you $1,000. Could anybody not use an extra $1,000 a month? Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you just lend out $200,000 at 6% interest? That would give you $12,000. Well, for one thing, Pastor Peters, I don't have $200,000 to lend out. You think the bankers have $200,000 to lend out? They haven't lent out $200,000. I could tell you a story. I told it on the air about the time that I was speaking to a group of young farmers when I was with the United States Department of Agriculture, Farmers Home Administration. I was a banker of sorts, not proud of it, but we made farm loans. They had a PCA man, production credit, a federal land bank man, a banker, and myself speak. I remember the PCA man ahead of me said, you farmers, they were complaining about the cost of money. He says, you farmers have got to realize that money's a commodity and you got to pay for it just like you do corn, seed, and this and that. When I got up to speak, I said, hey, farmers, I said, if money's a commodity, why don't you raise it instead of corn? Because you haven't been given a special privilege to create it out of nothing. And I explained to them the banking system. But nobody was interested back in the early 80s. At the time. This is how they plunder. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 1. It says, woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights. We'll stop right there. Well, no. It says, in order that widows may be their spoil and they may plunder the orphans. How do you spoil, plunder, rob? By writing legislation. That's what it says. And so this week you saw the way of Egypt. When they saw that the slaves were rebelling, instead of a 3 or 4 page that they rejected, now you have a 400 and some page and a bigger bill with more money and more pork, and that's just the way it went in Egypt. Was that when they'd say, let my people go? And this week, we didn't even say that. We just said, let us be. And so they just made the burden heavier. That's the way it was in Egypt. What you saw this week was, go make more bricks and gather your own straw. What you're going to see, we go to Micah chapter 7. What you saw this week is the way of Egypt. But you're going to see, we are in a time, you're going to see a salvation yet to be revealed. And you might say, well, how's he going to do it? You know, if I was back there in Egypt and I believed Moses, and my wife came to me and we were sitting down by the River Nile one evening, and I'm wiping off the sweat and trying to cool down a little bit. She says, honey, how are we ever going to get out of this? I'd have to say, I don't know. I just know we are. And I know we are going to get out by faith. Because God is able to deliver. You see, he gave us a redeemer to redeem us from the hand of our enemies. He is going to buy us back. That's what redemption means. And it's going to be, as the prophecy says, without blood. And Micah 7:15 is how it's going to be. It says, we read, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show you miracles. Nations will see and be ashamed of all their might, will put their hand on their mouth, their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They'll come trembling out of their fortresses to the God of our God, to the Lord of our God. They will come in dread, and they will be afraid before thee. Do you realize that we're living in some awesome times? This is the time to be found faithful, not to be found fearful. The Lord made it very clear as you study the prophecy in Isaiah 10. He said, don't fear the Assyrian who strikes you. It's me that's bringing you this blow, so that you might see the way of Egypt. Isaiah 10:24, Septuagint. Masoretic reads just about the same. And we're going to see the way of Egypt. I said something on the radio this week about the predicament. What are we to do? And I said, I don't know. I do know this. In order to have a Red Sea deliverance, you have to have a Red Sea predicament. And I know this. You don't have a Red Sea predicament if you can figure out what. And so that's where we're at. But I know one thing. We're going to get across. We're going to make it through, we, that remnant that have that faith. God will not leave us to beg. Oh, we might get hungry, but we won't starve. We might get dirty and even stinky, but we won't die. We might get uncomfortable, but it won't kill us. We are called to be overcomers in the fight to fight. Now you keep fighting and you keep praying the prayer. We're going to close out with the prayer we closed out last week with. It's the ambush prayer, because I think that they've got a plan, but we're going to ambush them with this prayer. The preparatory prayer for, we bring it up on the screen. You pray it with us, and then the imprecatory. Our Lord Jesus, we enter your rock when we are baptized into Jesus Christ and remain there through communion and living lives, loving you, submitting to you and your word. We now claim your protective covering, which is ours when we repent and confess and turn from our wicked ways. We do so now, calling for you through the blood of Jesus Christ to create within us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Furthermore, Lord, we put on the Christian armor as Christian soldiers to this ambush prayer and claim, and claim your protection from all the forces and power of the enemy. Protect us and cover us, Lord Jesus. Save us from the hand of our enemies, those who hate us and you. Redeem us from them through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. In the name, through faith, we arise, thresh, and pulverize with this prayer the wicked, those who plot and lie in wait for our demise and death. Bring it all back upon them. Make it their demise and death. Send forth your warring angelic force with the many and varied weapons from your holy arsenal and avenge the blood of your servants. Render vengeance on your adversaries and atone for your land and people. And do it all before they do it unto us. We and pulverize them through this prayer, standing on the truth of Luke 10:19, that you have given us through Jesus Christ the authority and power over the enemy, and nothing shall injure us. We know if you be for us, who can be against us? And while we, Lord, in these perilous times, it seems to us to be a good time to send forth those tear-gathering angels to gather, bundle, and burn the wicked stumbling blocks and lawless tares. We call for you to so commission, and we do so likewise. Thank you for the ambushers in the nick of time. All praise and glory and majesty be given to our protector, Redeemer and Commander, King Jesus. Amen. And may those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We're adjourned.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuiter and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch, where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made of prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web, www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.
But the blood.